Good morning. I'd like to call the Legacy Conference Committee to order. We're waiting for one waylaid senator, one of our founders of the whole Legacy Amendment, Senator Cohn. We're not sure where he is. It's a long journey. No, sorry, he's a friend, so I'm just teasing him. So welcome, everyone. I'm really excited to be here with all you. I know we're at the end of session, and we're dealing with incredible responsibilities of the state budget, but this is very important work as well that we're doing here at the voters in Minnesota in 2008 passed a constitutional amendment and to tax themselves, and all of us are lucky enough to, as members and on this committee, to be stewards of that money and to go forth and do good work in the state. And quite honestly, we're the envy of almost every state in the whole entire nation that we're able to do this in the arts area, outdoor heritage, parks and trails, and with clean water. And we're in our 10th year, and I think we've been off to a good start. And I'm honored to serve with Senator Rood, and she's done a great job, and she hasn't beat me up too bad yet. But we just started. But I didn't know if she had gotten one, but I brought a legacy pin from our 10th anniversary, and I wanted to present that to her.
Thank you.
And make sure she's fully armed and ready to go forth. Welcome, Senator. I thought we could maybe if she had a few words, but then I thought we could start with introductions and maybe go around, starting with staff, if we will, and then going around the table this way, and then we'll go the other direction. But I'm really excited about our work, and again, I'm humbled by the responsibility that we all bear on this special money, I would argue, that the voters specifically approved. So,
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Mike Moles, and I'm the committee administrator in the House.
I'm Brad Hegmarth, House Fiscal Analysis Department.
Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff.
Mary Mullen from House Research.
Janelle Taylor with House Research.
Representative Amy Waswick.
Representative Rick Hansen.
Representative Mary Murphy.
Representative Greg Bowe.
Joel Chesky, Committee Legislative Assistant in the House.
Peter Strohmeyer, House Staff.
Harry Merkel, House GOP Research.
Margaret Zadra, DFL House Research.
You want me to start?
You can, if you like, or whatever you...
Senator Rood, Chair of the Senate Legacy Committee.
Matt Elfritz, Committee Administrator for the Senate.
Greg Knapp, Senate Counsel, Research and Fiscal Analysis.
Dan Mueller, Senate Fiscal Analyst.
Ben Stanley, Senate Counsel.
John Cotter, Committee Legislative Assistant in the Senate.
Senator Dave Sentra.
Senator Andrew Lang.
Mark Grant, Senate District 32.
Senator Dick Cohen.
Allie Gunstrom, GOP Senate Research.
Gloria Gunstrom, Senate DFL Research.
Thank you. Amazing team on both sides of the aisle. We're also blessed to have, in my mind, I know Senator Cohen was very involved in originally setting up the idea and getting it on the ballot, as was Representative Hansen, and Representative Murphy was very involved in getting off to a beautiful start. We're blessed to have two former chairs and leaders on this and as well. So thank you for being here, everyone. Representative Rood, I don't know if you had anything you wanted to say or just go forth.
Well, I think we put together a phenomenal bill this year. I'm very proud. I think the Senate's very proud of the work that our committee has done, and we work really well as a committee, as I'm sure the House does. And so I think it's time to get this done.
Thank you, Senator. I think we're going to go through things with the staff, and I believe Mr. Hagemeyer is going to start. You can all find it in your in the spreadsheets and whatnot. So if you can lead us through that, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'll probably bounce back and forth a little bit, at least on the first articles, with Mr. Mueller in the corner over there from the Senate for the changes we made. We'll be working off the spreadsheet that the members have in their packets titled Legacy Funding Finance, House File 653, Conference Comparison. It's date and time stamped in the bottom corner as May 14th at 11:55 a.m. The first article of the bill is the Outdoor Heritage Fund, which is the one fund out of the four that we only do annual recommendations on. The other we do 2 years worth of recommendations, both the House and Senate for this one. And I'm going to go fairly quickly because we're very close on this bill or this article. Start with the recommendations made by the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. Both the House and Senate only made one fiscal change, one appropriation change to the recommendations by the Outdoor Heritage Council. That's on line 85 for the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant Program. Both the House and Senate reduced this appropriation by $378,000, and that was just to bring the fund in line with the 5% reserve requirement that's in statute. Otherwise, the House and Senate fund all of the same projects at the same levels for a total appropriation out of the Outdoor Heritage Fund of $127,127,000 the first year and then $565,000 the second year. And that brings us right to our 5% reserve. And I don't have much else to say in the first article unless you guys have other questions on that one. I can go to the Clean Water Fund article.
Any questions to the Outdoor Heritage portion of the bill?
Sure.
Senator Senjan.
Are these on all the time?
Yes.
Could you just go through those last numbers again? I'm just trying to catch up on the pages where we are, the totals.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator, on line 96 would be the second page near the top are the totals. Both the House and Senate appropriated $127,127,000 the first year from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and then there's $565,000 the second year, and that's typically some of the administration for the Outdoor Heritage Council and a few other little administrative things that come into that number for the second year. And then right below that on lines 99 through 107, you'll kind of see the fund balance calculation of the 5% reserve.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Senator Lang and I are lucky enough to serve on that, and that portion of the bill passed through Lessard Sam's Council. I believe it was a 12-0 vote. And Senator Lang?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I appreciate the heads up and the opportunity to serve on Lessard Sam's Council. Myself and Senator Tomasoni are the two from the Senate side that serve and help author the bill and obviously helped go through the massive three-ring binders and spreadsheets we go through every year. So,
thank you, Senator Lang. Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, if we're done with that article, I can move on to Article 2, the Clean Water Fund. It starts on the second page on line 109. And I should have said this earlier, I guess. The first column, or for Clean Water Fund, the first set of columns numbers are the Clean Water Council recommendations from November of last year. The second set of three columns is the governor's revised recommendations on March of this year. The third set of columns is the House position in this bill, and the last set of columns are the Senate position of this bill. And then I think here you'll see more changes, and Mr. Mueller and myself will bounce back and forth, and we'll probably just point out where we made changes from the Clean Water Council and governor's recs, which were identical this year. I believe the first change is on the Senate side.
Mr. Chairman and member, the Senate on line 113 recommends $4.35 million for the nitrate and groundwater. This is at the Department of Agriculture, which is $820,000 less than what the Clean Water Council recommended.
Mr. Chair, on line 115, you'll see the recommendation for technical assistance of $1.625 million per year. The House removed this appropriation from the bill. And the Senate reduced the amount in this bill by a little bit to $1.2 million per year. On line 116, the academic research and evaluation at Department of Agriculture, the House also removed this appropriation for $1.325 million.
Mr. Chairman, members, next on the line 119, dealing with irrigation water quality protection, the Senate reduced the Clean Water Council's recommendation by $470,000 to $150,000 per year. Then the next one, line 120, the Forever Green Initiative. This one, the Senate is at $2.5 million for the biennium, which is $800,000 less than what the council recommended.
And, Mr. Chair, the House increased this appropriation quite significantly to $5 million per year, a total of $6.7 million over the recommendations. And then the last line where you'll see a change is on line 122, the Clean Water Council had recommendations for vegetative cover and soil health, and neither the House or Senate have that, and it was dropped in the governor's revised. So the total appropriation for the Department of Agriculture, the House appropriated $24,890,000, the Senate appropriated $19,825,000. On line 124, you'll see the Public Facilities Authority. The House did not make any changes to the recommendations for PFA.
And on line 125, for the point source implementation grants, the Senate added $2 million to what the Council had recommended. So on the total for PFA in the Senate is just over is $20,250,000. The House is at $18,250,000.
Mr. Chair, starting in line 128 is the Pollution Control Agency. On line 129, you'll see the continued river and lake water monitoring and assessment efforts to meet the 10-year cycle goal. The House reduced this appropriation, which was recommended at $16 million to $14,800,000.
And on the Mr. Chairman, and on the Senate side, on line 130, the Senate added as a carve-out of that appropriation. We recommended the same amount of spending that the Council did at $16 million and then added $300,000 for the Red River Watch program. This is a program that's been funded in previous bienniums in the same manner.
Mr. Chair, on line 132, the groundwater assessment, you'll see the House added $637,000 to make this appropriation $3 million. The recommendation was $2.3
million. And on that one, the Senate is recommending the same amount as the Clean Water Council. The next change on line 135, the Senate is recommending $6.9 million, which is for county inspections of SSTS, the subsurface treatment systems, which is $976,000 less than what the council recommended.
On line 136, you'll see accelerated implementation municipal stormwater permits, the MS4 permit requirements. Their recommendations were for $450,000 out for this program. The House removed this appropriation.
And on line 138, chloride reduction program, the council had recommended $600,000. The House has that, and the Senate is at $500,000.
On line 139 is public information campaign that the Clean Water Council and governor had recommended this year, and the House and Senate did not carry this provision in their bills.
On line 140, the Clean Water Council budget, the council recommended $220,000. The House is carrying that amount. The Senate is at $100,000 for the Clean Water Council budget.
And, Mr. Chair, if you turn to page 3, at the very top line on 141, you'll see that the total appropriation to PCA that the House made was $47,446,000. The Senate was at $47,564,000. On line 142, we start the Department of Natural Resources.
Line 143, stream flow monitoring, the council recommended $4.4 million. The House is carrying that amount, and the Senate is at $4 million. The next one that's different is on line 146, watershed restoration and protection strategies. The House has the Clean Water Council's recommendation at $4.032 million, and the Senate is at $3.8 million. The next one, aquifer monitoring. Again, the House carried the Clean Water Council recommendation for $4.65 million. The Senate is at $3.75 million. The next one, line 148, non-point source restoration. Again, the House has the Clean Water Council recommendation of $2.4 million. The Senate is at $2 million. The next one is line 152.
Mr. Chair, that would be the color infrared imagery analysis at the DNR. The recommendation was for $650,000. The House removed this appropriation, and the Senate reduced that appropriation to $300,000. And then on line 153, the Forest to the Future program, the recommendation was for $1.5 million. The House increased that to $2 million, and the Senate removed that appropriation or did not include that appropriation. In total, the House recommended appropriations for DNR were $22,152,000. The Senate was at $18,520,000. Starting on line 155, you'll see the Board of Water and Soil Resources.
Line 156, this is the grants to watersheds with multi-year plans. The Council recommended $29.422 million, which the House is carrying. The Senate is at $26.75 million. The next line, surface drinking water protection grants. The House is carrying the Council's recommendation of $32.6 million, and the Senate is slightly below that at $32 million even. The next one is accelerated implementation, line 158. The recommendation was for $12.1 million. The Senate is at $8 million.
Mr. Chair, the next change you'll see is on line 162. It's for targeted wellhead and drinking water protection. The House, the recommendation was for $4.75 million. The House increased this to $10 million, and the Senate reduced this appropriation to $4 million. The next change you'll see is on line 163, the technical evaluation. The recommendation is for $168,000. The House increases slightly to $200,000.
The next line, One Watershed, One Plan, line 164, the House is carrying the clean water. The Council recommendation at $4.54 million. The Senate is at $4
million. On the next line, Mr. Chair, you'll see 165, Conservation, Drainage Management, and Assistance. The recommendation was for $3 million. The House did not include this appropriation. And the Senate reduced it to $1.7 million. Mm-hmm. The next line you'll see, 166, is the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, the CREP program. The recommendation was for $20 million. The House included the second year's appropriation in there for $7.5 million.
And on the Senate side, the Senate reduced that a little bit down to $18 million from the $20 recommended. On the next line, Critical Shoreland Protection, line 167, the Council had recommended $3.5 million. The House is carrying that, and the Senate's at $3
million. On line 168 is the tillage and erosion transects. The recommendation was for $850,000. The House included $426,000 of that appropriation, and the Senate kept it as recommended.
On line 169, the Water Legacy Grants Program was a Council recommendation at $2 million, which the House is carrying, and the Senate is at zero on that one. The last one, or the next one, line 171, is the Senate recommendation for funding the Soil and Water Conservation Districts at $12 million per year, $24 million total for the biennium. And then line 172 is a provision that from a bill that we heard in the Senate. This was $50,000 to go statewide with that same program that the Red River Watch program had in PCA, and this would allow the program to go statewide. So that's $50,000 for Bowser for that. So the total appropriations, the Senate has $139.7 million. The House is at $119.5 million for the biennium.
Mr. Chair, on line 174, you'll see we start the Department of Health. On line 175, the Drinking Water Contaminants of Emerging Concern Program. The House increased this appropriation. The recommendation was $2.75 million. The House increased it to $10.5 million. When we get to the bill later, you'll see there's a number of writers have additional language in the House or different language, and this one has some other requirements in it, too. And I believe the Senate reduced this one slightly to $2.4 million.
Next on line 177, or no, that one's the same. On line 178, groundwater restoration strategies, the recommendation from the Council was $1.3 million. The Senate is at $600,000. The next one, private well water protection. The Council had recommended $1.7 million. The House is at $2 million, and the Senate is at $1 million. The next one, groundwater virus monitoring. The Council recommended $500,000, which the House is carrying, and the Senate is at $250,000. And then the next one, drinking water protection. Council recommended $700,000, which the House is carrying, and the Senate is at $350,000. And the last one is the water reuse project. The House is at the Council recommendation for $550,000, and the Senate is at $231,000. So the total amount appropriated to the Department of Health from the Senate is at $10.8 million, and the House is at $21.6 million.
Mr. Chair, if you go to line 184, we start the Metropolitan Council recommendations.
The first one, line 186, is the Water Demand Reduction Grant Program. The Council recommended $500,000 per year, which the House is carrying, and the Senate is at $250,000 per year. Next one, the House has the Inflow and Infiltration Grant Program at $1.39 million per year. The Senate is not carrying that, and that was not a recommendation from the Council or the Governor. So the total recommended for the Met Council, the House has $4.39 million, and the Senate is at $2.5 million. Next, we have University of Minnesota. There's a few appropriations for the University of Minnesota. The first difference is the County Geological Atlas, and the Council had recommended $650,000 was in the Governor's recommendation, and the Council had originally recommended $1 million. The House is carrying that $1 million recommendation. The Senate is at $500,000. And then the next one, the Clean Water Return on Investment on line 192, the Council had recommended $343,000 for this. Both the House and the Senate are not carrying that one.
On line 193, you'll see appropriation for CARP management that was recommended by the Clean Water Council. It was not included in the Governor's revised recommendations, but the House is including this appropriation. The Senate is not. Line 194, you'll see the total for Metropolitan Council. The House had $3 million. The Senate had $2 million. And if you go to page number 4, you'll see the last of the appropriations for the Clean Water Fund. Line 195 is the Legislative Coordinating Commission. And then line 196, you'll see an appropriation both the House and Senate have of $9,000 for the LCC website. In total, the House appropriated, or both House and Senate appropriated $261,261,000 over the biennium, which gets us both to exactly a 5% reserve. And you can see the reserve calculations on line 200 through 208. And that is all for the second article, Clean Water Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller and Mr. Hagmeier. Any questions on the water portion of the funds? We have some differences there, and we can certainly work on those in the next couple days. Any questions? Seeing none. Mr.
Chair, we can go to Article 3. It'd be the, or actually I think it's a different article now, but it's the third fund, the Parks and Trails Fund. It'd be line 211 on page 4. You'll see we're very close on the amounts each year. Basically, the House and Senate both appropriated the 40-40-20 split, the 40% for state parks, 40% for metro parks, and 20% for outstate parks. You'll see the numbers are off basically by $1,000 in the year. It's just how we did the calculations. Some of the only minor differences are the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. The carve-out amount is just slightly different. The House has $450 per year. Senate has $446, $456. And then the amount used for the Parks and Trails collaboration among those three groups were just $1,000 off in each of those years, too. So in total, both the House and Senate spent $101,257,000. That gets us within $2,000 of the 5% reserve. And that's it for Article 3, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, also point out on that there's a difference in the LCC appropriation between the two bills on line 223. The Senate's at 7,000. The House is at 4,000. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller and Mr. Hagemeyer. Any questions on the Parks and Trails fund? That one looks pretty straightforward, which is very nice. Thank you for the three groups that were involved with that. They're off doing great work around the state. And so that's nice. Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, members, we're moving on to the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund at the bottom of page 4. And for this fund, the only governor's recommendation is for the Arts Board. There are no other governor's recommendations or council recommendations. So for the Arts Board in total, the House has a total of $65.69 million. That's $864,000 less than the governor's number. And I should also note the governor's recommendation was based on the available resources from the November forecast and was not adjusted for the February forecast.
And Mr. Chairman, the Senate recommended $65.65 million. So we're the difference between the House and Senate is just $43,000 between that. So both sides kept the recommendation for the 47% for the Arts Board.
Mr. Chair, moving on to the Minnesota Historical Society, I think maybe we can just kind of go by programs here. For the House on the statewide historic and cultural grants, there's a total of $13.6 million. Within that amount, there are two carve-outs. The first is $150,000 for the Grindstone River Dam at Hinckley. This is a grant to DNR to maintain the history of the dam. And there's also a $200,000 carve-out for a Women's Suffrage Commemoration Commission. Moving down then to statewide history programs, the House has $13.35 million for the biennium. And again, there's two carve-outs here. The first is $250,000 per year for a legacy book that would be distributed to elementary school students. And then $25,000 one time for development of a second 10-year plan. Under history partnerships, the House has a total of just over $5 million for the biennium. For statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites, $1.084 billion for the biennium, $723,000 for the digital library, and then the House also has $100,000 in one-time funding, in the first year for the Litchfield Opera House. And so the total funding on the House side for the Historical Society is $33,948,000.
Mr. Chairman, on the Senate side, the Historical Society, for statewide historical grants on line 246 in the previous page, we're at $12.968 million, so $660,000 difference, and part of that is due to the two additional projects, $350,000 that the House had. The Senate had no carve-outs on that. On line 249 statewide history programs, the Senate's at just under $13 million, so and no carve-outs. On history partnerships, the Senate's at $5 million even, so we're only $60,000 apart there from the House. On statewide survey of archaeological sites, the Senate's at $1 million, so we're $84,000 less than the House. The digital library, we're at Senate's at $800,000, which is a $77,000 difference. And then the Senate's sort of additional projects that they funded separately as separate grants. The line 256 for the Minnesota Military Museum, $296,000. The General John Vesey Catalog at $119,000. And the Isanti County Moody School and Union Church at $40,000. So the total amount appropriated by the Senate is $33.191 million. Next, we'll go to the Department of Education. The Senate funded the regional public libraries at $5.2 million. The House was at $5 million. And Senate did not fund the water safety program.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, you'll see on line 262, the House did provide funding for a water safety program. That's $50,000 per year. So the total difference for the Department of Education is that $100,000 between the House and Senate. Moving on to the Department of Administration, The first items are related to public broadcasting. On line 265, you'll see the House provided $3.4 million for Minnesota Public Radio, and the Senate has $3.5 million, so that's a $100,000 difference. For AMPRS, the House provided $3.4 million. The Senate has $3.575 million. And then the Senate has a carve-out of $75,000 for the Veterans Voices Korean War. And I should note that this is funded in the House state government bill from the general fund. And then the final item on public broadcasting is Minnesota Public Television. The House funds Minnesota Public Television at just over $8 million for the biennium. The Senate has $9 million. And then both the House and Senate have a carve-out for the Twin Cities Public Television Minnesota Journey. The House has $500,000 and the Senate has $950,000. I can move on then to Wilderness Inquiry, the Canoe Mobile. The House is funding this at $500,000 and the Senate at $1 million, so there's a $500,000 difference on that one. I'll keep going. On the Como Zoo on line 271, this is one place where the funding is identical at $2.7 million per year. And then on the Science Museum on line 272, the House funds us at $1.2 million, the Senate at $1.4 million, so a $200,000 difference. Moving on to finish up. The next items on the House side, you'll see $250,000 for the Lake Superior Center and Great Lakes Aquarium, $75,000 per year for the Lake Superior Zoo, $25,000 per year for Midwest Outdoors Unlimited, and this is identical on the House and Senate. The House also has $400,000 for the Phelan Park China Garden. Both the House and Senate provide funding for the Green Giant Museum, but the House level is $100,000, and the Senate has $200,000 in the first year. And the last item is a Senate provision.
Mr. Chairman, the last item that on the Senate side, line 278, the Martin County Veterans Memorial, $100,000. So the total amount appropriated to the Department of Administration on the Senate side is $21.525 million. The House is at $20.2 million. The next item is the Minnesota Zoo, and both the House and the Senate are the same, $3.5 million. Next we have Humanity Center, and I'll go through the Senate on this one, starting with the Senate side on line 284. The Senate's at $2 million for Humanity Center programs. The House is at $2.2 million. Next, we have the Children's Museum, the Minnesota Children's Museum. The Senate's at $1.1 million. The House is at $1 million. And then the Senate also funds the Rochester STEM program that's run through the Minnesota Children's Museum at $200,000. The next, I'll jump to what the Senate is funding the other children's museums on line 294 with a grant program that would be available to all the other individual children's museums. The Senate has $700,000 per year for that grant program, and those are for startups and expansions. And then the next item, the Senate also has another grant program on line 298 called the Community Identity and Heritage Grants, and that's at $800,000 per year. And the last item on the Senate side, going through the Department of Humanities, is civic education, and that's at $200,000 per year.
Going back to the House funded individual children's museums. We've already talked about the Minnesota Children's Museum, but beginning on line 288, you can see there's $300,000 for the Duluth Children's Museum, $300,000 for the Grand Rapids Children's Museum, $300,000 for the Southern Minnesota Children's Museum, $300,000 for Great River Children's Museum, And then $75,000 for the Wheel and Cog Children's Museum, and $50,000 for the Region 5 Children's Museum. So this would compare to the Senate funding of $1.4 million. It's a total of $1.325 million for the individuals versus the grant program. And then the House has three legacy grant programs for different communities. The first is Online 295, the American Indian Legacy Grant Program for $500,000, the Hmong Cultural Events and Programming Grants for $500,000, and then the Somali Community and Museum Cultural Grants for $500,000. So the House total for the Humanities Center is $6,025,000, and the Senate is at $6.7 million. That's a $675,000 difference. Okay, moving on to the Indian Affairs Council. The total, I'll run through the different programs. On line 302, there's the grants to Minnesota tribal nations to preserve the Dakota and Ojibwe languages. The House is at $1.5 million. The Senate has $1.12 million. So this is a $380,000 difference. On line 303, there are the funding for the language immersion educational institutions. The House is at $1 million. The Senate has $740,000. That's a $260,000 difference. For the Indian educational and immersion efforts, the House is at $1.5 million. The Senate is $1.12 million, a $380,000 difference. For the Indian Language Working Group, the House is at $100,000. The Senate has $80,000, so that's a $20,000 difference. And then finally, the protection of Indian graves. The House is at $200,000 and the Senate is at $140,000. So that's a $60,000 difference. So the total for the Indian Affairs Council on line 307, $4.3 million for the House versus $3.2 million for the Senate. And then there's a House-only provision, the University of Minnesota Board of Regents. There's a funding for the Bell Museum of Natural History. That's $250,000 per year.
Mr. Chairman, the next one is Department of Agriculture. Both House and the Senate have money going for the county fair grants. The House is at $500,000. The Senate is at $800,000. And then the last item is the appropriation for the LCC for the website. Both the House and Senate are at $6,000. So both a total on line 317, both the House and Senate are spending the same amount of money, $139.772 million, which gets us right at the 5% reserve.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts and Mr. Mueller. Any questions to the numbers and any of the funds? I want to be respectful of the senators. I understand you have session at noon. We could ask staff to accelerate going through some of the language, if that or would that work for you, or how do you want us to?
Mr. Chair, I think we're perfectly fine to just keep right on going. They'll go in at noon, and then they'll have the bill presentation. So they'll hold the board open for us if we need to vote. So I just prefer to just keep going.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Taylor? Mr. Chair, I'm going to start with Article 1, the Outdoor Heritage Fund article that should be in your binders. There are not very many significant differences, so I'm just going to go ahead and point those out. The first one would be on R15 of Article 1. And you'll see on line 16.29 on the House side and 16.27 on the Senate side, at the request of LSOHC staff, we've dropped Minnesota from the Minnesota Trout Unlimited. So the national organization would be the fiscal agent. The next would be on R18. The House made some changes to the CPL grant program. You'll see the first on line 19.32. The up to has been changed to at least, so at least $3 million would be going to the seven-county metropolitan area. There was also some language that you'll see on the Senate side, lines 20.9 through 20.11, that were removed. This language is also in the Constitution, but the language here would be removed. There's also some language that requires, on the Senate side, you'll see 20.23 through 20.31, giving priority to things that are within 1 mile of existing WMAs. That language was removed on the House side. And then the final difference would be on R23. House has a section 3. It updates some obsolete language that required legislative oversight. This would require a joint hearing between the House and the Senate to review the effectiveness of the Lasard Sands Outdoor Heritage Council. And you'll see similar language later on for the Clean Water Council. So that would conclude the language differences on the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Okay. Any questions on that language? Seeing none, Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair and members, now we'll go to the clean water article, which starts on R33 of the side-by-side. And there's several more differences on this one. The first would be on R35. If you look at the House sides, 38.6 and 38.7, this is the first of several provisions where the House adds language that requires water assessments to also include assessments for microplastics and nanoplastics, and you'll see some language later on directing the PCA to put together some protocols and definitions for those. There's also a reporting requirement that has been added to this rider as well. The next difference I would point out would be on R36. On the House side, lines 39.19 through 39.29, the House.
Ms. Taylor, just a second. I think Mr. Knopf has.
Well, Mr. Chair, just a couple of things. The report requirement on the pesticide monitoring. There is a biennial report from the Department of Agriculture on all of their pesticide management plan. So the reports are still there, but we just don't have specific language for this. And you'll see there are some technical differences on 38.22 to 38.23, where the Senate kind of clarifies the research activities at the Rothschild Farm, and the House just mentions the farm. So just want to point those out.
Thank you both.
Mr. Chair, to continue, like I was mentioning, there's another report requirement on the Ag Water Quality Certification Program on the House side. Then on the bottom of R36, starting on lines 40.10 through 40.11, then continuing on to the next page, the House made some changes to the recommended language that targets these practices to those that are reducing contaminants to impaired waters. So it's just sort of got narrowed a little bit from the House's side. And then there's on the top of R37, the Senate has some additional language. I don't know if Mr. Knopf wants to explain that.
Mr. Chair and members, the Senate does include additional language, basically on establishing an Agricultural Diversification Steering Council and network that the House does not include. I thought that this was recommended by the Clean Water Council. So, and as I just want to mention again, the reporting requirement for the Minnesota Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program, there is a biennial report from the Commissioner of Agriculture on that program. So this would kind of be a little duplicative of the reporting requirements they already have.
Mr. Chair, also on R37, the House again has added microplastics and nanoplastics on line 40.21 to the private well testing rider. And then there's a Senate-only rider that's not pertaining to money that Mr. Knopf may want to describe on the bottom of R37.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, you do have the two riders with the money that was gone over in the spreadsheet. But there's also the Senate provides for that a portion of the section may be used for programs to train state and local outreach staff in the intersection between agriculture economics and agricultural conservation. think we've talked about that before. The Senate just included it again. I think it was part of the Clean Water Council's recommendations.
And Mr. Chair, moving to R38, you'll see on the first pollution control agency rider, the House again adds the microplastics and nanoplastics to the PCA's assessment work, and then there's a report requirement. And then on the Senate side, they have the carve out for the River Watch program. That's what the language difference is there. Turning to R39, again, you'll see the assessment for microplastics and nanoplastics required on the PCA's groundwater work. And then on R40, on the SSTS activities, you'll see on the House side there's another reporting requirement. And then on R41, on the rider for the chloride pollution, you'll see that the water softening unit grants have been narrowed to public facilities on the House side. I think the Senate is carrying the recommended language from the Clean Water Council. And then the rider, paragraph J on the House side, this is the provision I was talking about requiring PCA to develop the protocols for the microplastics and nanoplastics, and it does provide the definitions of what that means for the purposes of these appropriations. And then our R42 on the House side, again, you'll see the microplastic and nanoplastics on 45.12 and 45.13, and then you also see a requirement that at least 50% of the assessments be done in the metropolitan area. And then again on 45.19, you'll see the microplastic and nanoplastic requirement added to the fish contaminant work. Moving on to R44 on the House side, you'll see that the rider for the grants on 47.34 has been changed to an at least instead of an up to on the Senate side. And then on the bottom rider on the accelerated implementation activities, there's another report requirement that has been added. And then on R46 at the top, there's some Senate-only language that Mr. Knopf may want to describe.
Mr. Chair and members, the Senate is carrying the language from the Clean Water Council, and they did include that or otherwise ensuring long-term protection of groundwater supply sources as described in alternative management tools. So I won't read it all to you there, but basically it's 49.6. So that was language that was recommended in the Clean Water Council bill.
And Mr. Chair, the next difference would be on line 49.33, the House on the technical evaluation panels for the restoration evaluations, the House would require at least 10. The Senate is requiring 10. And then moving to the top of R48, you'll see language. The House had narrowed the recommended language to allow Bowser to ship money around to high-priority drinking water needs instead of the Senate is carrying the original language for high-priority needs identified in the local water management plan. The House also removed some language that the Senate is carrying that says unless the Commissioner of Admin determines that a longer duration of is needed for to extend the appropriation. So that was removed. That was part of the recommendations. And then on R49, this is starting in the Department of Health. You'll remember when we were going through the spreadsheet, Mr. Hagemeyer had mentioned that there was some additional language. The House is requiring the development of at least 8 health risk limits as part of the appropriation, and it's also requiring the establishment of some protocols for monitoring surface water for drinking water. And again, there's a reporting requirement added on the bottom of R49. On R50, you'll see the microplastic and nanoplastic differences again on 53.21 and 53.22. And then if you go to page R52, the stormwater best management practices evaluation was narrowed on the House side to municipal stormwater best management practices, so that work would be narrowed there on the House side. And then the next
difference would be on our 53, there's a house-only section. This is the legislative oversight section for the Clean Water Council that I mentioned previously. And that would conclude the Clean Water Fund differences.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. And Mr. Knopf, any questions on the clean water part of the bill? Thank you both. On to the next, please.
Mr. Chair, members, Article 3 on the House side, there has been agreement reached in the Omnibus Environment Finance Bill. I don't know if you want to go through these differences now, but there has been agreement. So would you like
that
me
seems timely, yeah.
Would you like me to go?
Please.
Through?
No.
Or you don't. It's fine, Mr. Chair, but this has all been adopted into the environment. It's okay. Already been agreed to and adopted into the environment bill, so it's been done already. So.
Right.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there's one small item about a goal that maybe has not been adopted. So if you could point out that one piece that has not been adopted.
Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, if you go to R57, line 60.29 through 60.30, the House had originally carried language that would require, sort of establish as a goal, that surface waters meet their designated uses by 2040. The agreement that has been reached and adopted did not include that language, but I think there are still some ongoing discussions about this.
Thank you for that addition. Any other questions on the clean water portion at this point? Representative Murphy.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Are we going to carry those parts that are already adopted in another bill?
Senator Rood.
Representative Murphy, I wouldn't see why we would. It's already been adopted and agreed to in the other bill, so I don't know why we would carry it in this bill also. That would be rather redundant.
That's what I was thinking, but why were they in this bill then, if they were in the other bill?
Senator Rood or Representative Hansen? I don't.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chair, the House included these changes in their bill, in the bill that's here, the legacy bill. The Senate included them in the finance bill, and so what happens is the reviser brings in, when it's in one bill, since this was in your bill here, the reviser brought in our changes from the finance bill, and the same in the finance bill, that since we had them, the reviser brought in the House changes from the legacy bill. That's just a normal practice. It's just we were in two different bills, and so it shows up in each side-by-side. That one happens to be further along than this one, so that's where the negotiations have happened.
Representative Murphy.
What if I got it into a snit about it? Then, and I wouldn't have the opportunity to have my snit if, because it's already been adopted.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, you can have a snit whatever you want. As Representative Hansen pointed out, there was one piece that was not adopted over there that could be adopted over here if people wanted to, or over there, or not. But basically, the language has been worked out between the two sides. The differences weren't that great, and that was worked out between the two.
Well, I have that understanding now, and I'll ride with it. But let's see what happens when we get to Article 3 and 4.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. There is,
and Representative Murphy, can we count on a snit then, or is that something we should look forward to?
I think so.
I have been in the right mood.
Okay.
But there's a couple projects that I could see about this.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. There is some continued interest on the House side, certainly just to add a editorial comment or whatever you would call it on the setting of the goal, because I think we're at halftime or whatever, close to halftime on the water issues, and I think we need to have a goal and make sure that our water is swimmable, drinkable, and fishable. But I can certainly see there was some pushback, and I think there was some work on your committee, or Senator Ingebrigtsen's and Representative Hansen's, and there was some trouble in paradise, but I think there's maybe some movement there or possible.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it's been adopted in the other bill, so it'd be certainly more appropriate to work on it there with the folks that have been really working hard in negotiating that. So I would see no reason to bring up that here, but that's for a later date.
Thank you, Senator Root. Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think we have an excellent working relationship here, and you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next few days, so I think we should keep things fluid.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, if there are no more Clean Water Fund questions, we can move to the Parks and Trails Fund article, which is Article 4 on the House side and 3 on the Senate side. There are really no significant language changes except for there's some language on the Senate side on R66 regarding some consensus recommendations. I don't know if Mr. Knopf wants to explain.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is similar to language that was enacted in 2011, I think, where the 40-40-20 came together to the same groups of people. This is basically similar language that's been updated because there are some other groups that are involved, like the working group on the Parks and Trails Advisory Legacy Advisory Committee didn't exist back at that time. But otherwise, it's the same language because the agreement back then was to go through fiscal 19 to keep the 40-40-20 and to keep with the faith with the people that made that agreement. All the three groups, state parks, metropolitan parks and open spaces, and the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Council are in agreement that it might be good to go take a relook at it, and maybe the 40-40-20 is exactly what they're going to end up with again. But they thought, since they had a timeline on that, that they would like to go back and look at it, and this tells them to go back and look at it and report in time for the next time we'll be appropriating the money in 2021. It's just kind of doing the same thing that was done then, same similar language, and just having them go back and relook at it again.
Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this isn't on that particular on the 40-40-20, but it's at a different point.
Okay,
that's okay.
Anything to the comments by or the differences between the House position on the 40-40-20 split before we move on?
Well, Mr. Chair, this is something Senator that was brought by this group to put in here. It's their idea because it does expire in 2019, and so this really is the working group that really wants to take a look at it, and they brought this forward. So it's not the idea of the legislature, it's the idea of the Parks and Trails Council. But it's time to look at this again. And I think it's been working very well, but that's for them to look at and have a working group on.
Senator Rudin, I've had an opportunity to visit with this, and I've visited with some groups too, so it is accurate to say, I mean, exactly what she said. So we can maybe trade the goal, the clean water goal for that. No, just kidding. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm just checking, looking through here. I think there was a bill from former Representative Atkins about a bison study in Dakota County, and I don't know if that didn't get heard or if it would that be something that if Dakota County received their share from the implementing agencies that they could fund that I think it was like a $50,000 bison study. Do you remember that, Mr. Chair?
Representative Hansen, I do. I had an opportunity to visit with you and Representative Hansen, and I guess my understanding is it might have been on a path somewhere else. So I don't know. You can reach out to your counties and the metro groups and see if they want to be nicked or not. Good luck with that. Any other comments on the Parks and Trails, or is there any other, Ms. Taylor, or no one else? Seeing none, Ms. Mullen?
Chair and members, I'm going to start on Article 5, which is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Appropriation. This is Mary Mullen from House Research. Article 5 starts on R68. I'm not going to walk through each of the differences because the major differences are the appropriation riders, where the House has House-only funding or Senate-only funding, but I'm just going to talk briefly about the areas where there's a little bit of change in the language. So, and Mr. Stanley is going to fill in if I miss anything. The first section contains the technical appropriation language, and then Section 2 contains the appropriations for the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. The first major difference in language is really on, starts on R72 to R73. This is where the House directs the Historical Society to work with fund recipients to update the 25-year plan and create a second 10-year plan for awarding arts and cultural heritage funds, and the Senate did not have this same language. They don't have any language related to that particular piece. And I think the other big difference in the rider language for these appropriations is on R81. The House and the Senate used different funding mechanisms for the Children's Museum grants, which was highlighted in the spreadsheet as well. And then they also used a different funding mechanism for the cultural grants that come from the Humanities Center. So from R81 to R84, the House has broken out individual Children's Museum grants, and the Senate has used a competitive grants program. And then for the cultural programming, events, and museum grants, the House has broken it out again into three separate grant programs, and the Senate has used a competitive grant program under that. And I think the last few language changes to note are related to three House-only policy provisions. So I'll start on R86 and go on to R87. So the first one's going to be Section 3, House-only provision. This is part of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Statute, and it says the recipients must be in Minnesota and residents of Minnesota to receive program funds, and if they leave before they complete the project, then they need to return a portion of the funding. On R87, Section 4, again a House-only provision, prohibiting the use of arts and cultural heritage funds for certain criminal activities and other activities, and allowing the Commissioner of Administration to impose a civil penalty. And then the final provision related to these House-only policy pieces is Article 6. It starts on page R88. And it prohibits funds from being used for supplanting traditional funding from the four legacy funds. And it provides a definition for traditional sources of funding. And I think those are the language changes for Articles 5 and 6.
And Mr. Chair, members, just a couple other small differences to point out to you. The first is on R79. With respect to the Green Giant Museum, there are slight differences in the language about how these dollars can be used. On the House side, 83.30, this provides that the money can be used for exhibits and programming, whereas the Senate language provides that the money is to design, construct, furnish, and equip the museum. The second and final thing I'll point out is at the bottom of page R85 and the top of R86, the Senate has a requirement that the county ag fair grants be distributed in equal amounts, and the House does not have a similar requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley and Ms. Mullen. Any questions on the arts piece? Wow. Seeing none. I don't think I've ever seen Senator Cohen. You have no arts comments? I mean that respectfully. You've been a leader in that area. So, Senator, I think we're kind of there. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. And so, if the I believe the next moves on your court. I don't know if you have idea when you'd like to meet and Senator Rood.
Well, I think we'll discuss and maybe give you a call about when we're going to go on the floor at 12:15. So, and like we said, this is going to be very fluid. And if there comes to an agreement, the other committees will be meeting. And I know we all sit on several of the other committees, so it would be our intent to meet as soon as possible and get this done. So,
thank you. I'm very much looking forward to working with you, in particular, and everybody else. with that, we are adjourned.